Going to be reading from the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 1, 1 through 19. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of King Josiah, son of Amon of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of King Jehoiakim, son of Josiah of Judah, and until the end of the 11th year of King Zedekiah, son of Josiah of Judah, until the captivity of Jerusalem in the 5th month. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, You have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. The word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, What do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot tilted away from the north. Then the Lord said to me, Out of the north disaster shall break out on all the inhabitants of the land, for now I am calling all the tribes of the kingdom of the north, says the Lord, and they shall come, and all of them shall set their thrones at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all its surrounding walls and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them for all their wickedness in forsaking me. They have made offerings to other gods and worshiped the works of their own hands. But you, gird up your loins, stand up and tell them everything that I command you. Do not break down before them, or I will break you before them. And I, for my part, have made you today a fortified city, an iron pillar and a bronze wall against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its princes, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. Jeremiah definitely had a purpose, and he was motivated to fulfill that purpose. God knew the purpose was intended for him even before he had been born. And I think we can believe that God knows each of us and what we're going to do before we're born. We all have a purpose. Now, granted, our main purpose in life is to worship God, but we do have a purpose here on earth. This may seem a little bit strange in this kind of a sermon, but there is a story of Burger King employees who went on a retreat in Key Largo in 2001. It was a team building exercise. It was the marketing department. They were trying to get them to work a little bit better together. The highlight of the training was a firewalking exercise. Each of the 100 people in the attendance was to walk barefoot across an 8-foot length of hot coals while their co-workers cheered them on. Unfortunately, the corporate ritual didn't quite have the intended effect. A dozen or so employees had first and second degree burns. One of their co-workers, showing little team spirit, was hospitalized. Some people just have incredibly sensitive feet. That was the motivational coach's response. You would think that would stop it right there as far as the fast food industry, but in the next year, the Kentucky Fried Chicken managers found themselves at that same conference, that motivational conference, doing a similar firewalk. 20 employees were hospitalized with foot burns. 10 more were treated at the scene. The manager for KFC said, "We were exploring what went wrong, and they have now banned firewalking in future retreats." We do some strange things to try and get ourselves together, to motivate people. You go into a bookstore today and you'll find an entire section on motivation. Books, tapes, you can attend seminars on motivation. Somebody's going to tell you how to be motivated, how to be excited about what you're doing. And I think most of those kind of fall short. We have lots of self-help books, things like that. And if any of you have the real answer to motivation and success, you could become rich. This morning, though, we're going to deal with the Old Testament Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a very young man, a prophet. He was only a teenager when God came to him and told him to prophesy. His first remark was, "I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth, for I am only a youth." God assured Jeremiah that he would put his own words in his mouth and make him a prophet to the nations. He didn't walk on a bed of live coals, but he was still a very powerful communicator. He enlivened his presentations with actions such as wearing a heavy yoke around his neck as a sign of what would happen to Israel if they did not return to God. Things didn't go well for Jeremiah, though. That's why he was labeled the broken-hearted prophet, or you may have heard him referred to as the weeping prophet, because the people of Israel rejected his prophecies and ridiculed him. He was taunted, put in jail, and thrown into a pit to die. Sometimes he became quite bitter. He expresses his anger and frustration in his writings. Some believe he was murdered in Egypt by his adversaries because they didn't like what he was saying. Still, up to the time of his death, he stood strong and he prophesied for God. And what's interesting is his prophecies actually proved correct. He wasn't just spouting off something like some of the soothsayers and such that you might hear from today. He knew what he was talking about, and his critics didn't like it. No prophet wants to tell their people they're going to suffer and die, but that's exactly what he told them. If you don't change your ways, you are going to suffer and you are going to die. God laid that message on Jeremiah's heart, and that was his purpose, and that was what he did. He was true to his mission. He is recognized as one of Israel's great prophets today. He wasn't rewarded for his work. In fact, he took on a lot of ridicule and people criticizing him. He wasn't rewarded for it. We all have responsibilities to our families, to our employer, to God. And we have to fulfill those things that we need to do, those purposes in our life. Jeremiah, he had a strong consciousness of God in his life. Just like it says, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Jeremiah had a strong consciousness of God in his life. And most of us have a good consciousness of God. We're all big believers in God. We wouldn't be here if we weren't. We trust God. We have that consciousness of his existence. Maybe not to the point of Jeremiah, but we know he's there and we can trust him. It's interesting, back when George W. Bush was vice president and he went to Russia to represent the United States at the funeral of Leonid Brezhnev, he makes the comment that he observed Miss Brezhnev standing stoically by the coffin, and when they got ready at the end of the funeral to close the coffin, the soldiers that reached for the lid, as soon as they reached for the lid, she reached inside and made the sign of the cross on his chest. George Bush was impressed because this is an atheist, communist country. Yet she still believed Christ saves. She wanted to cross her husband's chest before they closed him up in the coffin. The cross is still important. It's important to even people that would tell you they don't believe. It's very important. Most people do have a consciousness of God. Some work hard at ignoring that consciousness. We probably all know people that feel like they should be doing something different, or they know they're doing something they shouldn't be doing, but they do it anyway. They've got the consciousness of God, but they fight against it because they want to do things their way. There's a young woman named Catherine Rohr. She was living very well as an investor on Wall Street. In May 2004, for some reason, she had an occasion to visit a prison in Texas. It was a life-changing experience for her. She had compassion for the inmates, which I'm sure most of us, if we went on a tour of a jail or a prison, we would have compassion on the inmates. But she also got to thinking about the potential that was there with those inmates. She thought to herself, drug dealers, as slimy as they are very good entrepreneurs. They know how to handle money. They know how to do business. So she thought to herself, this is my purpose. So she quit her job. Her and her husband moved to Texas. And she started a kind of ministry that helps these inmates develop their skills as legitimate business people. It wasn't easy. For one thing, as soon as they got moved to Texas, all their material goods were stolen by the very people she was trying to help. She could have given up at that point and gone back to New York and said, never mind. But she hung in there because she felt a purpose from God. By the time she finished, she had helped 370 inmates graduate from her program. 97% of them were employed within 4 weeks of being released. When she was asked how she did it, she said, I prayed about it. And I told God, bring it on. I'm ready. She could have given up, but she didn't. She felt God's purpose in her life, and she did it. Just like Jeremiah, he knew he had a purpose, and he knew he had to try and straighten out the Jews, the Israelites. He knew it wasn't going to be easy, but he tried. He looked at them people and says, guys, you got a problem here. We need to fix this. And they looked at him like, you're crazy. We're not doing that. So God took care of it. He warned them through Jeremiah, but they wouldn't listen. Jeremiah knew that he had been set apart. He was different. We are to be set apart. We are different. We're not supposed to be a part of this conformist society that we live in. Paul even tells us that. Do not conform to this world. We are to be different. But in society today, that's not really acceptable. In society today, if wide ties are in, you're going to wear a wide tie. If narrow ties are in, you're going to wear a narrow tie. If all of a sudden no ties are in, you wouldn't be caught dead in a tie. Because we keep up with the Joneses, we follow society, we want to conform with the way things are. But we are supposed to be set apart from others. We are to be different. I'm sure all of us remember our mothers asking us why we're doing something. And we look at mom and go, oh, well, everybody else is. And mom would look at us and go, if everybody else was jumping off a cliff, would you do it? We aren't supposed to conform to society. We are supposed to be different, set apart. God's looking for people that are set apart from society. He's looking for those kinds of people to help him to improve society in Christ's name. That's our purpose in life. We are to serve God, worship God. And yes, we have a purpose, whatever occupation, vocation we have, wherever we have felt comfortable because God put us there. And it's not about necessarily being in the right place at the right time. That's things that God does so that we can help each other. Our purpose is how we live and where we're going. I'm sure everybody's aware of the book purpose-driven life, Rick Warren, and that's what he's talking about. We all have a purpose. We all have something we're supposed to be doing, something that builds God's kingdom through our work in society. If you've ever done the study, Purpose-Driven Life, the first thing Rick Warren says is it's not about you. It is not about you. Jeremiah knew that. He knew it wasn't about him. Jeremiah knew that he was going to be doing dirty work, unrewarding work, be ridiculed, but he stayed on task. He did what needed to be done. God is looking for people like Jeremiah that are willing to do his work, what needs to be done today. Buchenwald Prison in Germany back in World War II was an awful place. Hell on earth, you might say. 56,000 prisoners were slain by the Nazis. Among those prisoners was a group of Jewish doctors. They did like everybody else. They stood for roll call. They got their weak soup. They had to turn out the lights at a particular time. They knew that they probably weren't going to survive. But in the evenings, these doctors would huddle together and encourage one another, talk about some of their cases, different things, to keep themselves going. Then they decided that, look, instead of us just sitting here talking about this, maybe we can help some of our fellow prisoners. So they bribed some of the guards. They managed to get some medical supplies, a few medical supplies, things that they could help one another with. There were, besides doctors, some electricians and engineers that were encamped there who managed to fabricate a very rudimentary X-ray machine so they could further help the other prisoners. They knew that their reward was going to be the crematorium or a mass grave. They knew they weren't going to survive. Yet, through their work for God, their ministry, they helped others, at least for a time. Most of us wouldn't understand those extreme conditions. Most of us are probably not going to suffer for our faith. Most of us will never be socially ostracized like Jeremiah was. Oh, we may be ridiculed. People may look at us funny because we're Christians. We're different. We're set apart. But we're not going to suffer for it. A lot of us do good community work. We do things to try and help our community and show them Christian attitudes. Sometimes it works, and sometimes we get ridiculed for it or are told, you can't do that here. We are driven by a purpose. We are motivated by a purpose God has created for us. I'm going to tell you about two children. And as I describe these children, you will probably not have a clue who these are, but these are very famous people. The first one, young boy, they thought he had an IQ of 81. He was withdrawn from school after 3 months and was considered backward by school officials. He enrolled again in school 2 years late due to scarlet fever and respiratory infections. He was going deaf. His emotional health was poor. He was stubborn and showed very little emotion. He liked mechanics. He also liked to play with fire and burned his father's barn down. He showed some good manual dexterity, but very poor grammar. He felt like he wanted to be a scientist or a railroad mechanic. That's the first one. The second child was born to an alcoholic father. As a child, she was sickly, bedridden, and often hospitalized. She was considered erratic and withdrawn. She'd bite her nails and had numerous phobias. She wore a back brace because of a spinal deflect and was constantly in need of attention. She was a daydreamer with no vocational skills, although she expressed a desire to help the elderly and the poor. Who are these two children? The first one is Thomas Edison, one of the greatest inventors that ever lived. But you'd have never thought that if you saw him growing up. You wouldn't have thought he was going to be successful, smart, do some of the things that he did. The other one is Eleanor Roosevelt. She wanted to help others, and she did. She helped lots of people. And again, you wouldn't have thought that if you saw her growing up. God can take people that you would least expect to be successful at something and make them successful at it. Just like the saying goes, God does not call the qualified. God qualifies the called. And we all have our calling, our purpose. Did you know that 3% of the earth's fresh water is on the surface? 97% of that water is actually underground. You can't see it. They say the same thing about humans. 3% of our personality, who we are, is on the surface. 97% is inside us. So how do you tap that's inside you? How do you bring that's inside you out to the surface? God has placed that in us. And if you trust God, and like Catherine Rohr, you pray about it and tell God, bring it on, I'm ready. God takes you to it, God will get you through it. And we have to learn to avoid those three deadly words. I am only. How often do you hear people say, I'm only capable of this? I am only one person. I am only a senior citizen. I am only. It's an excuse to not do something. Jeremiah tried that. God wouldn't take it. God looked at him and said, don't tell me I'm only, because I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to speak through you. I am going to use you to try and straighten out the Israelites. Too many of us are stuck on that, but I am only. We are capable of doing a lot of things that we may be surprised we're capable of doing. We all have a purpose. God knows our purpose, what we are supposed to be doing here on earth. We just have to trust Him to lead us in that direction. God sees our efforts. God rewards our efforts. We just have to hang in there. Now, we may not ever wind up with a book in the Bible named after us, but our name is written in the book of life because we do the things God wants us to do. And before we were born, we were set apart by God for some purpose in our life. Our first purpose is to worship God. Our second purpose, God will show you if you just trust Him and let Him show you. Amen.